If you have a Bible this morning, if you'll please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. Matthew, chapter number 3. Let's read verses 13 to 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious word of God this morning. And Lord, we do ask that you would be glorified in and through your word. Lord, help us to learn something to put into our hearts this morning. And Father, we thank you that the word of God is alive. And Lord, we thank you that it is a living word, that Lord, you touch our hearts with every time we sit under the, Lord, the declaration of your truth. And Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open this morning. Lord, I pray that you would teach us and guide us into all truth that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to share a little story with you that I recently heard. It was about a father who was talking to his son about baptism. And his teenage son was about to be baptized, and he was speaking with him, and he was very careful to share with him about what baptism truly means. He wanted his son to be ready. He wanted his son to know what it meant. And at the same time, his little four-year-old boy was listening in also. As his dad was talking to his teenage son, suddenly the four-year-old boy ran out of the room crying. As you can imagine, the dad was so concerned, he followed after him and he said to his son, Son, what's wrong? Why are you so upset? And the little boy turned around and confessed, and he said, Dad, I want to be alphabetized too. And that's what this little four-year-old boy said. Now, obviously, the poor little guy was confused about what baptism really means. And I say that to say, you know, today lots of people are confused about what baptism really means. There's lots of confusion out there. And this morning we're going to look at Matthew chapter 3 just to clear up a little bit of confusion and to help us to understand what baptism is. And if I were to sum it up in one sentence, baptism is simply this: following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is. And here in Matthew chapter 3, we find the example of the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized. And this morning I'd like to look at three short thoughts from the Bible to help us to understand this subject. Now we're in chapter 3. Notice if we back up in verse number 1 and 2, notice God teaches us something about the message of baptism. That's the first thing we're going to look at this morning. The message of baptism. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3 says, In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now here in verse number 1 we find a man named John, and his title describes what he did for a living. His calling of God was to baptize people. The word Baptist doesn't mean he belonged to a denomination called the Baptist Church. No, God had called him to be a messenger. He was one whom God called to declare that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. He was the forerunner, the one who went before the Lord Jesus Christ to tell the wonderful message that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is coming. And he not only declared that message, but for those who believed, he then baptized them as an indication of their faith in the Messiah. And that was what John did. But notice with me this morning that John didn't just invite people to be baptized, did he? He didn't just say, okay, you over there that have come to here, come into the water and get baptized. No, he didn't. There was a special message that he told people first and foremost that they had to respond to. Notice what he said in verse 2, and saying, what are the next words? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, the message of baptism is found here in the Word of God. It is a message of repentance. The word repent means to turn around. It means to turn from and to turn to. It describes a change of heart and a change of mind towards God. And that was the message that John brought. Notice in verse 6. What were they called to repent from? These ones who were baptized of him in verse 6 in Jordan, confessing their, what's the next word?
Sins.
You see, they came to be baptized, and John the Baptist very carefully said this, okay, I can see you want to be baptized, but first of all, where's your heart? Have you repented of your sins? Have you turned from your sins and put your faith in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Bible tells us that they were baptized because they did confess their sins. And this was the message that God gave John the Baptist to preach. He didn't say, get baptized, everyone. He said, repent. And friends, we need to be very careful and not to miss that this morning. What is baptism all about? Well, first of all, those who are baptized are ones that have first repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Turn with me for a moment to the next book in your Bibles, the book of Mark, chapter number 16. Let's look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the book of Mark, chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible this morning, feel free to share with the person next to you. I'm sure they wouldn't mind. Mark chapter 16. At the end of the book of Mark, here the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples and he gives them the message that they are now to tell the world, just like John the Baptist of old. Notice Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. It says, and he said unto them in verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? It is the good news, that's what the word means, of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the sins of mankind. Notice carefully verse 16. Why don't we read verse 16 aloud together on two. One, two. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice what the Bible says. The response to the gospel. As the disciples declared the truth of Christ's salvation offer to all, verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, if we stop right there, we would be convinced that in order to be saved, to be forgiven, you have to believe and be baptized. But don't leave out the second half, please. What does the Bible say? But he that believeth not shall be damned. You see, it's not baptism that saves. It is faith in Christ, belief, first and foremost. Only faith in Christ. Why is baptism and being forgiven, salvation, so closely tied together in the Bible? It's because those who confess their sins, repented, and put their faith in Christ once and for all for salvation, naturally desired to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and be baptized. They weren't being baptized in order to be washed from their sins. They were being baptized in order to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Those who had repented had already received the gift of salvation. You see, it's not baptism that saves. Jesus taught here in verse 16 that it's unbelief that stops a person from being forgiven, having a home in heaven, not the lack of baptism. Let me say this, nowhere in the Bible is it taught that the baptism waters, cleanses or washes anyone from their sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, the Lord Jesus said, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. So you see, it was the message of John. It was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was the message he gave to his disciples and friends. This is the same message that God has now given to us today. The message of repentance. The message of the gospel. That was John's message. Let me ask you this morning before we go any further. Has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and believed the gospel? Friends, that is the wonderful message we have the joy of sharing this morning. You see, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, God is very honest with us. He says to us in that verse, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What does that mean? Well, the Bible says we are all sinners. If we compared ourselves with one another, yes, we would appear as a good person. If you compared yourself with me, well, we're on the same level. We all make mistakes. We all try to do good things. But you see, in the sight of a holy, sinless God, we are all sinners. God is a holy God. He is perfectly righteous. He is morally pure. And if you and I were to stand next to God this morning, we would be revealed as the sinners that we truly are. God has given us, for example, the Ten Commandments. These are examples of God's holiness. 10 laws. And if you and I measure ourselves up by those Ten Commandments, how would we do? Well, let's look at one of them. God says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." What does that mean? Don't lie. If you lie, you've broken His laws. Now, let me ask you this morning, have you ever told a lie before? I know that I have. But have you ever told a lie before? Now, if you're here this morning and you'd say, "Look, I've never lied," well, then you just have. Welcome to the group of sinners. We are all sinners. We've all sinned. And friends, there's no such thing as a white lie. There is a lie and there is the truth. And God says if we have lied, we have broken His holy law. You see, for example, how perfect God is. God says, "Thou shalt not steal." Have you ever stolen anything before? I know that I have. God says, "Thou shalt not..." The Bible says, "Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother." Now, I know in my life, I haven't always honored my parents. Now, we can all relate to these truths, and we can all admit this morning that we've broken them, and they are just 3 out of 10. How are you going this morning? Do you really believe that as a liar, and as a thief, and as a disobedient child, that you can stand before God and say, "Look, I'm good enough to enter into eternity with you. I'm good enough to stand in your presence." You see, rightly so, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Not even one person can say, "I am good enough." You see, God is a holy God. And because He is a God of justice, there's more. There's more we need to understand. Because you see, as a holy God, God must punish sin. Just like as you and I, if we make the choice to break a law in our country, we must be punished for that crime. If you were to be brought before a court of law and to stand in front of the judge and say, "Look, I know I've broken the law, but I've done a lot of good things," what would a just judge do? Would he say, "That's okay, I'll let you go, I'll let you off the hook, you can go free"? Or will justice have to be done? Well, if he's a just judge, then we must pay the punishment for our crime. Likewise, when it comes to God, even more so. He is a holy God. Friends, He not only sees our actions, but He sees every thought that we think. Men, the Lord Jesus Christ said that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed the act of adultery in your heart. There's the example of what God sees. He not only sees the sinful acts, He sees the sinful thoughts. Can you imagine how high the pile of our sins are when God looks down upon us? Friends, we are in big trouble. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, what our fate is. The wages, or the payment for sin, is death. That is what we have earned because of our sins. You might say, "I don't think my sins are bad enough." Well, friend, that's because you haven't looked at them in the light of the holiness of God. The majesty of God. The glory of God. And friend, don't wait till you step into eternity before you see your sins in God's sight. Friends, He's given us His Word. So we can be prepared for eternity to come. That's the good news. But before we understand the good news, we have to understand the bad news. We are sinners. We need a Savior. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 20, verses 14 to 15 tells us, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. You see, the first death is physical. The second death is spiritual. We're separated forever from God in the most horrible place for all eternity. Why? Because God cannot enter into the presence of sin. He must separate himself from it. Why is hell so bad? And yes, it is that bad, as God describes it. Why is it so bad? Friends, it's because our sins are so bad. But the good news is, none of us this morning have to go there. Judgment of God is what you and I deserve. To be separated from Him in a lake of burning fire forever is what we have earned. That is what God's law demands, His holy law. But the good news is, though God's law demands punishment, His love has provided forgiveness. You see, God is a God of justice, but He's also a God of love. So God, in His infinite, amazing grace and His amazing love, has provided salvation full and free for sinners like you and I. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Let's look together at the book of Romans, chapter 6. Thank you for turning with me there. What is the good news of the gospel? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Why don't we read it aloud together, shall we? Once you find your place. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Let's read together on two. One, two. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, do you notice the word but? God tells us the bad news. It's like going into the doctors. Imagine if you and I avoided the doctors every time we got sick. Imagine if you and I didn't want to go to the doctor because we wanted to avoid hearing the bad news. Now, men, that's sometimes how we are. You know, we wait till the last minute. And I'm sure we can all agree this morning, that's what we do naturally, don't we? We wait until we think it's too late and then we'll go to the doctor because we're afraid of what the news might be. But we forget, don't we, that we go to the doctor to also hear the good news. What's the medication we can take? What's the treatment we can undertake? What help can we be offered? And you see, the Bible tells us, yes, we're all sinners. Yes, we deserve God's judgment. But the good news is also given to us, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, in God's mercy and in God's love, He has provided forgiveness. How has He done that? How? Well, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came down to this sin-cursed world. And on an old rugged cross, my friend, there in the place of sin, He paid for your sins and mine. He shed His holy, sinless blood once and for all to pay the sin debt that we owe to God. And on that cross, the very last words that the Lord Jesus spoke were very important to remember this morning. The Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." Amen. Friends, do you know what that means? It means that He paid in full. That's what the literal meaning of the text is. Paid in full. The transaction has been made. You see, you and I are sinners. We can't pay for I can't pay for your sins. You can't pay for mine because we're both sinners. That won't work. But you see, the holy, sinless Son of God, God in the flesh, He is the only one that could make a payment that would satisfy the justice of God. You see, on the cross of Jesus Christ, God's wrath was satisfied. God's judgment upon your sin and mine was satisfied. Therefore, judicially, legally, wonderfully, you and I can be set free. We can be forgiven for our sins because on the third day, up from the grave He arose, the Bible says, with a mighty triumph over sin, death, and hell. And Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, John's message was a message of repentance. He was calling people to repent, to admit that they are sinners before a holy God, to grieve over their sins in understanding that our sins are against God, not one another. Our sins are an offense against God, and we need to come in godly sorrow and brokenness of heart and turn to the Lord and ask Him to save us. And when we do, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, the Bible says we are forgiven once and for all. Friend, if you've never heard this message before, let me encourage you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You see, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a person, Christ. And He is a God of love. Yes, His holiness demands justice, but His love has provided forgiveness of all for all. Friend, the gospel is a message of love. It's the good news. Let me ask you this morning, would you choose today to repent? To repent once and for all and to call upon Christ, the Saviour. Now be careful this morning, because there are a lot of false messages out there as well. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 3. While we're talking about baptism, let me share with you just a quick thought before we go on. Notice Matthew chapter 3, back in our text this morning, verse number 7. Here it says of John, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers," wow, that's pretty strong, "who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You see, judgment is coming. Friends, judgment is just around the corner. We need to be prepared. But who was this group that had come to John? Well, they were Pharisees. They were Sadducees. They were religious Jews. And you see, the Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees believed that they deserved the right to go to heaven. They deserved the right because they were Jews, the children of Abraham. By birthright, they were okay before God. They just had to be born a Jew and their eternity was sealed in heaven because they were Jews. And they were too proud to do what John was calling them to do what God is calling us to do this morning, to repent and be saved. They didn't think they needed repentance. They thought they were good enough to get to God. And in their pride, in their religious works, John rebuked them. He said, "You are vipers. You are spreading your poison of false teaching among the people. No, it's not. We cannot get to heaven by good works." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us, "By grace, what we don't deserve, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's what the Bible says. If you and I could earn our way to heaven, and we could stand before all the world today and boast of what we have done. And by the way, there are false teachers today boasting about their good works. Many people sadly die in a religion, thinking they are good enough to go to God, and tragically finding out that they've missed the gift of eternal life. That they thought their sins were okay with God, and suddenly and catastrophically realizing too late that no one can stand before God in their works. Friend, you see, the religious leaders of the day came to John, proud, unrepentant, unwilling to turn from their sins. Friend, don't believe the lie of religion this morning. Don't believe the false teaching of the day. You know, when I was young, I grew up in a religion. And I was taught that because I was sprinkled on my head as a baby, that my sins were forgiven. I'm in now. I'm in the family of God. My original sin has been cleansed away. And when the priest prayed over that little fountain of water, as he prayed, this religion taught me, the water was infused, like putting a tea bag into a cup of water. The water was infused with the Holy Spirit of God. And when that water was sprinkled on my head as a baby, I was miraculously forgiven. Friends, that is not the message of the Bible. You will never find anyone in the Bible sprinkled with water. Secondly, you will never find anyone being called to put their faith in God who is a baby. Why? Because the message is repentance. An infant cannot repent of their sins. They are incapable of doing so. Salvation is for those who understand their sinners. And yes, children can be saved. and put their faith in God for salvation. But you see, there are false teachers out there that would say, well, if you've been sprinkled, you're okay. Friends, that is not baptism, and that is not salvation. The message is repentance. Baptism is for those who have already repented of their sins and personally received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why Jesus Christ came to John. He was preaching the right message. Is that right? John was preaching the right message, so that's why Jesus Christ came to him. The message of baptism is the message of repentance. I trust that if you're not sure about your soul's eternal home, that you'd make a decision this morning and receive the gift of love, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ's forgiveness. Well, secondly, notice the meaning of baptism. We know the message of baptism, repentance. What is the meaning of baptism? The meaning in the act of baptism. Notice verses 13 and 14 in your Bibles. Verse 13 says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" You see, John the Baptist knew who was approaching him. It wasn't someone who had repented. It wasn't someone who was a sinner in need of salvation. It was one who was sinless. In another gospel, John is declared to have said this, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." You see, he is the sinless, spotless, innocent Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the waters, to John, not to be cleansed of his sin, but to do something very special. And John realized in that moment, hang on a second, you should be baptizing me. I'm the sinner. I'm the one who has repented, and I need to be baptized as a believer. And the Lord said, notice verse number 15, "Suffer it so to be so now." The word suffer means to allow. He says, "Please allow me to be baptized. I want to be baptized." Why was the Lord Jesus Christ baptized? What does he say in verse 15? "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." You see, the Lord wanted to publicly display a righteous act. He wanted to do something that would glorify God the Father, that would fulfill all righteousness. He wanted to do something for the glory of God in the eyes of all the witnesses. Though Christ needed no repentance because he is sinless God, he wanted to show something special in the baptism that he would accomplish. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Let's look there for a moment. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. What is the meaning of baptism? Why did Christ ask to be baptized? Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You see, these verses tell us that baptism describes is a picture of the gospel. Christ died on the cross. He was buried, and on the third day, what happened? He rose again from the dead. You see, that's what water baptism means. That is the picture in baptism. When a person goes under the water, they're picturing Christ's death for them. When they come up out of the water, they're picturing Christ rose again for them to pay for their sins. That is the simple and very easy to understand picture of baptism. Now hang on a second. Why was Jesus Christ baptized? Well, to do something righteous, to fulfill all righteousness. When someone is baptized today, they're showing what has already happened on the cross for them, that they've received Jesus Christ already, and they're identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection, and thanking God for saving them already. But you see, what was the Lord Jesus Christ doing before he went to the cross? He was showing what he would do. He was showing he would die. He was showing he would rise again from the dead. That's why Christ was baptized. And friends, that is the meaning of biblical baptism: the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the meaning. Notice in verse number 16 of the book of Matthew, as we turn back there, Thank you for looking at these verses with me this morning. Notice just a simple truth in verse 16. The Bible says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the," what's the next word? Water. You see, John was found preaching at the River Jordan. Why? Because there was enough water for people to go under and come back out. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He went down into the water with John. He was immersed under the water. And the Bible says he came up straight away out of the water. And friends, I hope you see with me this morning what baptism is. It is complete immersion. Amen. Under the water. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because of what baptism means. That's what we're looking at. The meaning of baptism. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's why immersion is the only type of baptism you'll find in the Bible. Because it is a picture of the gospel. The picture of what Christ did. I hope you see that this morning. Why sprinkling and the evidence of false teaching? Doesn't matter what church says. What church says that sprinkling is okay. Friends, if they go against the word of God, then they are in error. And I'm not saying we are the pillar of truth. We have the truth. And all of us need to hold to the truth of God's word. But what happens when a church says that sprinkling cleanses someone from sin? Well, they must be wrong. Because the Bible says no immersion. You see, sprinkling destroys the picture of the gospel. The picture of the gospel. I was duped into thinking I was a Christian because I was sprinkled. And I lived my teenage life thinking that, well, I believe in Jesus and I'm doing some good things and that's good enough. And thank God one day someone invited me to a Bible-believing church. And there in that place I heard the good news that we can't get to heaven by our good works. We are all sinners, but Christ died for me. And on that old rugged cross, he paid for my sins in full. And I remember the day, it was May the 7th, 2005, in my old home in Canberra. That night, I realized I needed to repent. I turned from my sins once and for all in my heart, and I turned to Jesus Christ and called out to him to save me once and for all. And friend, the weight of 25 years of sin was lifted instantaneously, and I knew I had been forgiven by the promise of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the blood of Jesus that washes away sins. That's the payment that was made for you and I. Are you washed in the blood is the question. The soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. If you're not, my friend, you can be washed today. Not by baptism waters. The waters simply picture what Christ did on the cross. For someone who's already accepted Christ as their Saviour. It's a testimony, it's a witness of their own salvation that has already taken place. That is the meaning of baptism. And that's why the picture of the gospel is so important. The message of baptism is repentance. The meaning of baptism is the gospel, being fully immersed to picture what Christ has already done for us on the cross, for someone who is already a believer, who has been saved. Thirdly, what is the motive for baptism? We understand all these things, I hope, this morning, but why should we be baptized? Well, notice very simply in verse 17, as we close, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" You see, here at Christ's baptism, God the Father's voice spoke out. And he said, "I am well pleased with God the Son." And God the Holy Spirit descended. We see God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is one God, but in three persons. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're together at the baptism of Christ. And God says to God the Son, "This is my beloved Son." Not child, but one with God. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And friends, very simply, that's the motive for baptism, to please the Lord. You see, we ought not to think that baptism washes away our sins. We can't perform any acts of righteousness to get rid of our sins. Only Jesus Christ can do that by calling upon him in faith, receiving his gift of eternal life. Baptism is a step of obedience for the Christian. It's a step of love. You see, if Christ has saved us, we ought to have a desire to please the Lord. And would you agree with me this morning that the Son of God pleased God the Father? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And that's what baptism is. It's a step of obedience, of willingness, of desire that pleases the Lord. Acts chapter 2 verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." You see, those who had received the gospel, who had believed, repented, were now baptized, giving the evidence of their inward faith visibly on the outside. That's what baptism is. It's the outward visible evidence of an inward supernatural act of God that has already taken place. I hope I've made it simple this morning. Friends, baptism is very confused today, this topic of baptism, but it's not confusing. It's simple. If you look at the Word of God, many people are confused. Many people are trusting, even going underwater and coming back up fully by immersion. Many people are trusting that was the moment they were cleansed from their sins. Friends, baptism it's got nothing to do with salvation, except it's the first act of love and devotion towards Jesus Christ. That's why we ought to be baptized, to please the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." You see, only a believer who has received Christ as Savior would desire to love him. Friend, if you were drowning in the ocean and someone rescued you from certain death, how would you feel towards them? You would love them. You would want to know them. You would want to be their best friend for the rest of their life. You would feel indebted to them, not because you want to earn their favor, but because you were grateful. You are grateful. How much more so when Jesus Christ saves a wretched sinner like you and I? Are we grateful? Do we desire to live for him? Friend, the Christian life isn't a ladder trying to climb our way to God. If we are truly saved, we want to love him. We want to please him. And we want to be baptized to show everyone else how thankful we are for a wonderful Savior who's paid for our sins in full. That's the motive for baptism. As we close this morning, let me encourage you, if God has spoken to your heart, it's not by chance. In 2005, I know it wasn't by chance that I very hesitantly, very defiantly, despite my own feelings, walked into a church, a place that I don't think I ever wanted to go to, but I knew that I had to find out something before it was too late. Something was drawing me there. And as I listened to the gospel, I realized, that's me. I need to be saved. I need to repent. I need to receive Christ before it's too late. Friend, if that's you this morning, I encourage you to make a decision. I encourage you not to wait until it's too late. Jesus said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Friends, he is risen today. His arms are open and waiting for any sinner who would repent and receive Christ, the Savior. If that's you, would you make a decision? Now, Christian, if you are saved, maybe God has challenged you about the issue of baptism. Baptism is the first step of obedience in the Christian life. Have you been biblically baptized? Have you followed in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? Friend, if you haven't, let me encourage you to make a decision today, that in the days to come, you might follow the Lord in this wonderful step of love and devotion. Why don't we have a moment of invitation this morning? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for listening this morning.